Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings here at Spirit Catholic Radio on KVSS, Catholic Radio for the Christian Community. I'm Bruce McGregor here in the friendly confines of the KVSS studios here in Omaha, Nebraska, and in the even friendlier confines of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We have Chris McGregor and with her this morning, Kimberly Hahn, the author of Life-Giving Love, Embracing God's Beautiful Design for Marriage, and co-author with her husband, Scott Hahn, of Rome, Sweet Rome, Our Journey to Catholicism. Kimberly is the mother of six children, also a frequent conference speaker on topics relating to marriage and family life. And good morning and welcome to both of you, especially you, Chris, and you, Kimberly.
Good morning, Bruce. Are you holding up okay, dear?
I'm doing just fine.
Oh, good.
I'm peachy.
I was hoping you're peachy. I was hoping you were missing me just a little bit.
I'm missing you a lot.
Oh.
And so are the kids.
Oh, that's good, but I know they're being well fed. See, Kimberly, in our house, unfortunately, I am not the best of cooks. And Bruce, he loves to do it, so I let him. It's my efforts to help him in his call to holiness. I let him do the thing he loves.
It's a form of complementarity to realize the different gifts.
That's it. Right. I'm not sure what mine is, though, Bruce. Do you have any idea?
We've been listening to it for the last week.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, you do a fabulous job, so... Kimberly,
okay,
you're in good hands this morning.
I believe it.
I have to say, having the opportunity to speak to so many of the wonderful people that are associated with the St. Paul Center, this particular moment is very special for me. Mm-hmm. Because, Kimberly Hahn, I have to tell you that I have walked with you on a journey for so long. Mm-hmm. But you haven't known. You've been living your life, raising your kids, being the wife and mother, and responding to God's call in your writing to help the rest of us to respond to that call as well. So thank you so much. It's so good to have you here.
You're welcome. It's great to be with you.
I have to tell you that your new book, Chosen and Cherished, The Biblical Wisdom for Your Marriage, it's part of the Life Nurturing Love series that's being brought forward by the St. Paul Center, is one of those books that when I sat down, I thought, okay, here's a marriage book. I've read some marriage books, and I started reading it, and my jaw kind of hit my chest only because as I'm reading it, I found that it's so much more than a marriage book. Mm. What I see in this is how women can become godly women, how we can respond to that Christian vocation of what it is to be a female first and foremost.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so extraordinary. And I've raced out and I've picked it up. And you women out there who know who you are, I've picked up copies to give to women who have just gone through divorce, mm-hmm. and who are in the single life. Mm-hmm. Because I think what you've given us is a way to follow Jesus Christ.
Mm. Well, you know, the idea of being chosen and cherished first and foremost is this is our relationship to Almighty God. Mm-hmm. That God truly has chosen every one of us and cherishes, present tense, every one of us. And he's the one who needs to give us our sense of value, our sense of worth. Mm-hmm. Then secondarily, within the vocation of marriage, we choose to get married and we really want to be cherished. Initially, actually the title was turned down because they said there are just too many people who don't feel cherished in marriage and this is just going to make people feel bad and they're not going to buy the book. And I said, but the point is we long to be. Mm-hmm. And so we need more tools. We need some more ideas, a fresh perspective that takes us out of whatever the challenges are and gives us the eternal view and then the nitty gritty. Today, in little ways, I can build the kingdom by loving my spouse and my children in these little particular ways, hidden ways.
Sound like Therese.
Yeah, very much like St. Therese.
And I think that's what's the beauty of this, is that it transcends even the marriage vocation or single life or consecrated life. I think this is as valid a study for those who may be in community, mm-hmm. and how to treat one another. But first and foremost, what is it that you do? Mm-hmm. How do you orient yourself? What is your priorities as a Christian woman?
Yeah, it's interesting you'd say that because I shared one portion of this at the Defending the Faith Conference at Franciscan this summer, and two different women in communities stopped me afterwards and said, I just want you to know that it was titled Chosen and Cherished, Biblical Wisdom for Your Marriage, but I'm taking back extensive notes to my community, mm-hmm. because we have to know how to resolve conflict and how to lead with love, how to be faithful to the vows we have taken. And so all that applies, as you said, across the board to any woman, mm-hmm. whatever her situation.
I think for women today especially, you talk about an important point about embracing, as John Paul said, the genius of women, mm-hmm. what it is to have been created male and female, and as you just spoke of, the complementary type of aspect of our relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not trying to be a neuter person. We're not trying to be men. Mm-hmm. And if we try to do that, we're actually just simply going to negate who we are as women. Pope John Paul II wrote a number of things about women, and they're all beautiful, but this idea that there's actually a genius of women, that we tend to connect with relationships first and foremost. And this is a gift no matter where we are, no matter what our vocation is, whether we're in the world or just in our home, we can bring that to bear in a very beautiful way. I think if you ask women, tell me about yourself, often they will first describe themselves in relational roles. They'll say, I'm married, I have so many children. And then they might say, and this is what I do for career, for work, or I work at home. I think men tend to answer it more thinking in terms of I'm an engineer, or I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, whatever. And, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. I just think that's one of the differences between men and women. We just tend to think in terms of relationships. And that's a beautiful thing, and something that we can bring to men as a way of balancing. And of course, receiving from them what's different from us. You know, mm-hmm. I think too often we get into a competitive mindset in our own, you know, let's say 2007 American culture. I'm competing with men.
Right.
And instead, we need to see that complementarity. And especially when you take it into marriage, how do you develop healthy interdependence as opposed to doing everything you can to maintain your independence? We just had dear friends go through training for marriage. They were in an engagement class out in Los Angeles. And one of the things the person said was, whatever you do, keep your own separate bank accounts. You don't want to merge your money.
Wow.
Because you have to protect your assets just in case something happens. It was just so sad. I mean, instead
yeah.
of saying, you know, what you're doing is you are merging lives. And so, of course, your bank account is just one of many ways in which you begin to think in terms of us and our, as opposed to mine and yours.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, that is very, very sad. I think, it, as you point out, in that complementary role, realizing, I think this is valid whether in marriage or whether you're a woman who is in ministry in the church. You're mm-hmm. serving and even helping and responding to that role of service in ministry, that realizing that men are a rational type, and they think mm-hmm. in a different way, and we have as much value in that emotional wisdom that we bring, that nurturing
yes.
that is intrinsically us. And when they come together and you don't fight,
right,
beautiful things can respond from that.
It really can. And I think respect, mutual respect, is one of those keys. I think when we say women tend to, if you were going to do a comparison between rational and emotional, women tend to be more in touch with their emotions,
mm-hmm.
men may be more leading with the thoughts. As long as you don't value the rational over the emotional, then you see, well, both are needed. And it's a complementarity, again, that we can bring to a spouse, we can bring to sons, we can bring to men who we work with. And I think if they appreciate the sensitivity we have, which is not, you're not talking about emotionalism that's irrational, or rationalism devoid of emotion, mm-hmm. but you're talking about finding a balance between the two, it just enriches any relationship.
What I love so much about Chosen and Cherished, and when I got excited, because I did watch the DVDs that come with it, so
yeah,
and they're
yeah.
funny. You are so funny.
A little too honest sometimes.
Yes, I know, but it's good. It's good to laugh, and it's good to see things. But as I began to realize, you have a gift of giving back to us this wisdom that you can find in Scripture. Mm-hmm. We're so used to having Bible studies now where we take big sections, like we're going to study the Acts of the Apostles, right, or we're going to study the first letter to Paul to the Corinthians. And that's wonderful. But there are gleanings that we can get from going to the Proverbs and going to the prophets and then going and connecting that with the New Testament, that there's not a lot of studies out there that do that.
Yeah. It is something I have enjoyed so much in this series. And right now I'm preparing the next set of six that we're going to film in just 2 weeks.
That's exciting.
It is. It's a little scary, but very exciting. And it's just amazing that we're separated by centuries and centuries from the culture that was established as Israel came out of Egypt. And yet there are connections with those women. There are principles that applied in their marriages that apply to today. There is instruction for children, not just little children, but even adult children, that is something we can benefit from. And because Scripture isn't a dead book, it's the only book inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the church says it is living and active. It is something that is completely relevant to this day and age, although all kinds of customs have changed. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful to read these words and to know that there's a way it can apply, even if, you know, I'm not living, say, on a farm. But there are principles about gardening that mm-hmm. I can take and apply in my backyard and then use that for instruction to my children, just as the Proverbs 31 woman considered a field, bought it, and planted a vineyard with the fruit of her hands, which I would mm-hmm. take it, at least one application would be with her children.
Right. And I think that's the beauty of this particular study in Chosen and Cherished, and I can't wait for the next one, because you have this ability to help us. You've heard the term remunerate on the word, or chew, as Sister Ann Shields is always fond of telling our audience, you know, you need to chew on the word. But sometimes we chew on a very, very big chunk. Yes. And sometimes this is probably a poor analogy, but it's like having a mouthful and you don't appreciate it. What you've done, and you've helped me to slow down mm-hmm. to look at Proverbs 31, but you, I mean, even in Chosen and Cherished, it's just verses 10 through 12.
Yes.
And yet, but it's like you take time and you just sit and pray and think mm-hmm. about each point of this. I mean, I imagine Teresa of Avila doing something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. there's enough there where you just take each word and break open that wisdom. And I think Catholic women in particular are wanting to do that, but there haven't been resources out there to help them to do that.
Yeah. I do think it's one of the ways in which through the St. Paul Center we've been able to open up some new approaches to Scripture study, and it's just a great privilege for me to get to share this. It really is. And I need every one of these lessons, and many of them are just going over things we already know, but we just forget. And we just need that extra reminder. In the study having to do with time management, I mean, one of the phrases that I'll share and that I use probably every single day is, there is all the time I need today to do God's will today. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that overwhelms homemakers is this feeling of, I cannot get it all done. I told Scott, it's almost like a study in failure every day. Now, if I choose to focus on what I'm not getting done, it mm-hmm. is. I could have dinner on the table and it's beautiful and it's delicious and I can have the laundry done, but I haven't spent time with my children. I spent time with my children and the laundry has piled up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I've come to the conviction that it isn't God's will for me to perfectly complete every single possible homemaking task, but it is possible for me to do God's will. Because sure. he's the one giving me the gift of these 24 hours, which unfortunately has to include sleep.
Yeah, you know? It's such a waste of time when you think about it, just laying around.
Oh, it's just hard to imagine. I mean, one of the thoughts that hit me on this time management is, how did Jesus go to bed at night? Mm-hmm. How did he lie down knowing everybody wasn't healed yet? Every demon wasn't expelled. Every word of God had not yet been expounded. And it's because he rested in God's will that I am now in my humanity dealing with the limitation of time. Mm. And like I just said, Jesus himself could have said, I can do everything God intends me to do today. Now, the challenge is my will doesn't always match God's will. Mm-hmm. And it's why we need to pray. It's why we need to really think as we go throughout the day and our plans shift. Okay, it's not going according to my plan, but it's always still going according to plan. It's God's plan. And it's that little yielding. There is a new quote that I picked up from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, who's a patron saint of mine. And it said, now I won't be able to quote it exactly. I'll get it close. It's, oh, the sweetness of the providence that overrules my will. And if I can somehow or other get the idea, of course it's sweet when God and I agree.
Yeah. I like it.
But it's even sweet if I can understand that his will is the will of my loving Heavenly Father, not just this tyrannical God who's just moving the chess pieces and I happen to be the pawn at the moment. My loving Heavenly Father, who has a bigger picture than I will ever conceive of in this life. And he's saying, oh, Kimberly, that wasn't a bad plan, but it's not the best plan for this day. And so this is going to happen. And this, if I can have that yielded heart, then it's like, okay, Lord, yeah, okay. This, it's not my will. And so I can even discern it is more likely your will because it's not my will and I want to yield to it.
Unfortunately, we have to yield for a break.
Time management.
Speaking of yield.
Time management. Bruce listened to him in the back going, good girl, you did it. Okay.
All right.
But we'll be right back.